listening to Fat Jams 107 FM, a formerly Praise Christian Rock 107 FM. We've had a format change, you may have noticed. That last song was a hip hop. The title is Who Gone Stop Me Now? And that was by Mick he doesn't use vowels. I don't know how to say it. Some lineup changes to note. Praise Hour with Pastor Ben Simmons is now Rasta Rhythms. So smoke a blunt and join us for some chill island beats. Yaman. And Sundays at 11, instead of a simulcast from the Mount Zion Church Service, we invite you to Bootylicious Brunch with DJ Thrust. At the top of the hour, we will have more hip hops, but first, Questionable Material with Jack and Brian. You are listening to Questionable Material with Jack Helmuth and Brian Sack. This episode, Mistresses, Jack's Movie Auditions, Mother's Day Advice for Children. Hi.
Hi, old weirdo.
Nope, not old.
Hey, you upper middle-aged weirdo.
Not completely inaccurate.
Just get your affairs in order. That's all I'm saying.
My affairs are in order. Mondays are Barbara.
Yeah.
Tuesdays are Stefan. Wednesdays are Jacqueline. Thursdays are Agnes. Fridays are Betsy's. Saturdays are Rwanda. She's named after a country. And then Sundays are Brigitte. Very French.
I'd like to maybe talk about Tuesdays and Fridays. I have some questions about those days, about Stefan's and Betsy's.
Yeah. Which one we want to talk about first?
Well, I don't know. Well, first of all, it sounds like a lineup from a 1930s Depression era robbery.
Huh. Never thought about that.
Yeah, you should really look at those names. But anyway, okay, so Stefan.
Yeah.
Now, that's a pretty name for a lady.
It's an unusual name for a lady, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of unusual things about her.
Like what? I mean, I'm so interested.
Most women don't have Adam's apples. That's the first thing that I noticed when I met her.
Okay.
And then,
how tall is she?
Oh, she's tall. She's a little shorter than I am. She's about 6 feet.
Okay. It's a big lady. Okay, but go on.
6 feet tall, but... Not fat, not thin, just kind of in between.
Okay.
Muscular, very big biceps.
Hmm.
You know, some brown hair on
that's pretty.
Yeah, long brown hair.
Mm-hmm.
Mild, and the mustache is just kind of standard. You know, nothing outrageous. No handlebars.
Not too big, not too. So just a regular.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she can lift. She deadlifts almost as much as I do.
That's really cool.
Yep. And she's a runner. She likes to run.
Okay.
Faster than most women.
I bet.
Yeah. And, she's cool, but she's the Tuesday girl.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, it sort of sounds like the best you could do for a Tuesday. No offense to her.
Yeah. But the big days I save for later in the week, the Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Those are the big days.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I want to get to that in one moment, but just one last question about Stefan and this would be considered locker room talk, I think, but, how's her vagina?
She has not let me go there yet. We're working on it. You know, it's a long-term relationship. I think she wants more commitment and stuff. I can tell you, she's got a huge clitoris. I can just tell that through the basketball shorts.
You guys play a lot of hoops, a lot of one-on-one?
Yeah, she loves basketball and she's the right height. I mean, most of the other mistresses during the week, they tend to be shorter and more petite. But she's kind of right up there, my height. And so, yeah, we like to play a little b-ball.
Yeah, that's cool.
Hoops.
Okay, well, yeah, hoops, you know, like, it's so important to be aware of any possible scam during any time, but certainly during COVID time, where I think people maybe are more vulnerable. So just as your friend or whatever we are, let me just say, please, you know, be careful. Take some time to get to know Stefan a little bit more.
Okay. I've been taking it slow. We're going to watch the Crying Game next Tuesday when we get together.
That's cool. Yeah. Who,
her choice.
Her choice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's.
Okay. She said I would love it.
Okay.
Yeah.
You've never seen it before.
I have not seen The Crying Game.
Oh, cool.
I have no. I mean, I assume it's sad. It sounds sad. So maybe it's a little drama. Been watching a lot of comedies lately, so I could use a little drama.
Yeah, a little drama to snuggle up and get close.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, after you watch that, and you know, feel free if you're crying to give me a call.
Okay.
Okay, cool.
Will do.
And so Friday, I just want to get my head around Fridays because so tell me about the Fridays, girl, because it's so funny. You know, some listeners will know that, you know, my wife's name is also Betsy.
Right, right.
So I'd like to hear stories of other Betsys just to compare.
Yeah, she lives in Doggerton Piers.
That sounds like a nice.
It's kind of a bedroom community up the Hudson River.
Oh, I'm up the Hudson River too.
Are you really?
There's no hits on Google for Doggerton Piers. There are really? Very few words you could put into Google and get no hits for, but I just found it.
Huh. Well, it's funny. I mean, she tells me that I'm assuming it's an anonymous thing.
Oh,
because she actually reached out to me and said, I'm a mistress looking for a mister, if you know what I mean. And she used the all caps IYKWIM.
Yes.
And I figured that out. It took me a while. I had to go to Urban Dictionary, but I figured out. And then I said, well, yeah, I'm a mister looking for a mistress on. And just so happens my Friday night slot is open thanks to COVID-19.
Oh,
she told me what train to get on. I took the train there and I got out and she told me to blindfold myself.
Jeez.
And so I blindfolded myself. And then at some point I heard like, is this Brian? I said, yeah. She's like, just follow me. She took my hand and she led me to her car.
Okay.
And I assume drove to her house in Doggerton Piers. And then she parked the car. She said, my husband and my kids are not home. They're with their grandma. And I said, okay. And she took me inside the house. And I couldn't see anything. I was blindfolded. I remember a dog, yip, yip, yipping dog, like a little yippy dog.
Oh, yeah. I've got one of those. They drive me crazy.
Yeah, those are crazy. And I don't know why anybody had one of those. And then, she brought me into her house. She gave me a lot of Pinot Noir wine. And then she just had her way with me. Well, she insisted I keep the blindfold on.
It's hot. Yeah. Man, you know, I went to go have some Pinot Noir recently and we're out now. All of a sudden we used to have a lot of bottles, but now we're out. And so that's something I like to do is I like to drink Pinot Noir and try and get with my Betsy too. So it's funny.
It's funny. We have a lot in common.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. And so you just had your way with you. And then what, you back in the car and back on the train?
Yeah. She drove it. She took me out, led me back to the train station at Doggerton Piers. And then I took the train back to the city. That's my story.
Wow. Well, that's a heck of a story. And so you said you had a Friday night opening due to COVID-19.
Yeah.
Is that because you just find yourself with more free time or did your typical Friday night lady pass?
My Friday night hookup passed, unfortunately.
Oh my gosh. What happened?
She was in a high risk group. She was 84 and obese.
Yeah, that's high risk.
Heavy
that's
smoker.
High risk non-COVID times.
Right. And she was a heavy smoker.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. So, you know, three strikes. I went to the memorial service on Zoom.
Oh, how was that?
It was very sad. I mean, I changed my Zoom handle and to Bobby Simpson. So nobody would see my name. And then I don't know if you know this Zoom, you can actually put the background in focus and blur your face. So I did that. So, and then
that's so interesting. And who did you say Bobby Simpson was to this lady, as her family and friends and possibly even husband were mourning her, their loss?
I just said I worked with her down on the farm. People were like, what farm? She hasn't worked in like 40 years.
And so, that's how long she's been retired.
Yeah, she retired really early. She was a school teacher.
And then went on disability.
And she went on disability. Yeah, so the, it raised a lot of questions. So yeah, eventually I logged out of the Zoom. But I did scream, sorry for your loss, before I closed my laptop.
See, that's really sweet, man. Yeah. A lot of people say some things about you, but I say, some people think like you're like a sack of shit, you know, hashtag sack of shit.
Right.
But I think you're like a really caring and wonderful man.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. That's a classy thing to do. Wow. Wow. I mean, that was a steamy start to this podcast.
Yeah. Wow. Look at that. We're already 37 minutes into this thing. Oh, your guy's doing his lawn again.
Yep. I mean, goodness knows you can't go a week without a lawn that's not perfectly manicured in COVID times.
This guy blows my mind. He's like this famous author, and I just want to out him because he's like hiring this lawn crew to come in every week, especially when we're recording, and to freaking trim his rhododendrons and blow his leaves away. What a son of a, my God.
I mean, he's stuck at home. Go outside and do it yourself, bro.
I mean, I actually enjoy doing stuff around the house. Like, it's, you know, it's fun. No, I'm just going to sit inside and tweet to my 100,000 followers about.
Oh, you've narrowed it down.
Stay safe. Except for my lawn crew that I drag over here weekly. Oh, lovely. My God. Did you see this latest Twitter controversy?
No. Where
like somebody was upset because some guy was doing a Zoom from his house, and they looked at his bookshelf in the background. So of course they, you know, froze the picture and zoomed in and like, oh my God, he has a book by this guy and he has a book by this, you know, that guy. And how dare he? It's like, so you're not allowed to read books by controversial authors or people that you don't agree with. I don't understand the logic.
As if the purchase of a book means I agree wholesale.
Right.
With all of their beliefs.
Right. It's like retweeting something. If I retweet something, it doesn't mean I'm endorsing it implicitly and saying, oh, I absolutely agree with this tweet. I'm pointing something out. It's dumb.
You can only like things on your side.
Right. And anyway, I can't remember the one book was by a guy named David Irving, who's a Holocaust denier. And the other one was The Bell Curve, which is, remember that controversial book from late 80s, early 90s?
Of course. Of course.
But it was just a controversial book. But I mean, you know, they, and just flatten to have it in your,
flatten the curve.
But to have it in your bookshelf, I mean, you know, people, and then of course people point out like, well, I have Mein Kampf, you know, I'm, it doesn't mean I'm a Nazi. I have a variety of books that were either given to me ironically by friends, you know, silly books. I have a ton of books that were sent to me when I was blogging, when I had my blog back in the day, and publishers would send me their books. So I'm not going to throw them out. I have them. Doesn't mean I agree with them, disagree. I just happen to have, but there's judging people by what's in their bookshelves. So stupid.
I saw Mein Kampf when I visited your house, and I opened it up, and it's amazing how it looked like a college textbook at a used bookstore. It was so heavily underlined.
Yeah. Well, there's so many ideas, so many ideas in there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so interesting.
Yeah. I mean, that's where I got, the idea to start my company Kilco.
What does Kilco do?
Just kills things.
No kidding.
Destroys everything.
See, that's just an idea.
Yeah.
Because you read a book, you came up with a brand new idea.
Would not have had that idea if I did not read Mein Kampf.
Absolutely.
You know what the Germans used to call Mein Kampf?
The Bible.
Back before they got scared of Hitler. The Bible. No,
what they used to call it?
Mein Kampf, which means my diarrhea.
Oh.
So it was funny for a while, and then everybody died.
Allegedly.
Yeah. I see the David Irving book in your shelf behind you.
No, I'm a big Irving fan. He's got some great...
great denial ideas?
Yeah.
He's got some great denial ideas, like ways to ignore things that clearly, clearly happened.
My son actually broke his ankle the other day, and I ran upstairs, read the book. And I'm like, no, you didn't.
You did not.
You did not break your ankle. And he's crying,
Daddy,
crying.
Daddy, please, it hurts so much, Daddy.
It hurts. Oh my God, there's some bone sticking out. And I'm just like, honey, that's, you're being ridiculous.
That is not a compound fracture. Walk it off. And so how is he today? How's he today?
Oh, he's okay. He really hasn't stopped crying since last Thursday. Huh. He's just saying he's in a lot of pain. I mean, he's really, maybe he's trying to get some extra candy or something. Yeah. I don't know what his end game is, but boy, this kid is committed to the bit. I'm really proud of him, really.
Milking it.
Yeah, totally. Right.
Yeah.
Classic 9-year-old move.
I had a friend in a wheelchair and he broke his leg.
Okay.
During the act of coitus.
Oh, wow.
And because he was paralyzed, he did not know he broke his leg. And so he developed a fever over a few days and started getting worse and worse. And then I think he went to the doctor and then they finally determined that he had just fractured his leg and was unaware of it. And it was basically poisoning his blood.
No way.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
You know, put that under things you don't think about if you're not in a wheelchair.
Yeah, absolutely. How did you break his leg?
Sex.
cool.
No, he said he assumes he broke it when he was doing it.
Maybe he spent a little time with Stefan.
Guess what?
Tell me what. I'm dying to know.
Well, my friend Brad is up here. He's in quarantine, as we call it in the biz. But he's been writing scripts. And he's going to be producing these films once quarantine is over. And he asked me to audition you for some of these films.
Oh, this is really exciting. Now, again, Brad is your actual friend who is a Hollywood writer and director who makes big time movies. And this is, he's your real friend.
He is my real friend. He's a writer and a director. And he's the one who turned down Game of Thrones.
Yes, he is.
Which I laugh about every time I think about it.
I know, me too. Well, this is huge. Please, I would love to get a part in a movie like this. I'm looking to, you know, maybe change careers. So this is great.
Okay. And as you know, when he auditions you, he really wants you to stay in character, stay focused. Don't laugh. I mean, it's really important to him that you really remain in character. So I'm going to send you this script.
Okay.
Email. And I'll send it to the email address you've been using for the last several years and not the one you stopped using decades ago.
Thank you.
script one. Send. All right.
Oh, I'm so excited because I've never read these scripts. I'll be reading them cold, as we actually say in the business.
Cold read. You have not seen the script.
Oh, I just got script number one.
You got script number one?
I'm ready.
So this film is called Death from Above.
Ooh.
Yeah. And it's set in Afghanistan. It's a war thriller. And he thought you'd be really, really good for the role of Commander Mike Jericho.
Ooh.
All right. You ready?
Is that a lead role?
It is a lead role.
Oh, great.
Yeah. It's going to be a big film. Got a big budget too lined up.
Okay, great.
All right. So interior of an Apache attack helicopter cockpit. So you're a pilot.
Okay.
Commander Mike Jericho flies his combat helicopter over the Afghan landscape. It's the dead of night, and his craft is illuminated only by the half moon.
This is Tango 77, which is my call sign, approaching the place where the targets are supposed to be hiding out.
Roger that, Tango 77. Prepare for a possible engagement.
Roger that. I'm activating the nighttime see stuff mode. It lets me see stuff in the nighttime. If they're running around, they will look like little white blips. Then you can kind of tell that they're Taliban or farmers or whatever.
Do you have visual contact?
Negative, which means no in army talk. I think I see a lamb and some chickens, but I'm not supposed to engage the chickens, correct?
Affirmative. Do not engage the lamb or chickens.
Affirmative means yes in army talk.
Affirmative. Tango 77, what's your status?
I press the whisper button so the helicopter, which I've nicknamed Barney, is hovering super quiet so the Taliban or maybe farmers can't hear Barney.
Roger that.
Oh, my stars. I have a pickup truck approaching from the east, and it looks to be filled with Taliban or Taliban or farmers.
Roger that. Can you confirm the make of the pickup truck?
Based on the shape, it appears to be a Toyota.
Okay, that's the official truck of the Taliban. You are clear to engage when ready.
Roger that. I am flipping the red thing that covers the shoot button so that I can shoot the guns. The Taliban truck stopped. There are seven of them, which is hilarious because my call sign is Tango 77. Engaging.
Roger that.
I'm going to press the button now and there will be a whoosh noises and the Taliban guys will hear a sound and be like, what the heck is that? Then they will blow up and stuff.
Roger that.
This is for you, Lady Gaga.
Well,
how'd I do?
I don't think you got it. Being honest.
This is for you, Lady Gaga.
I haven't seen the rest of the script, so I have no idea what that's in reference to.
Gosh, that's, it makes me want to at least buy a ticket to the movie when it comes out, because I know I won't be in it.
Right. You will not be the Commander Jericho. Such a shame.
Oh my gosh. Barney.
I guess your helicopter, every helicopter has a nickname. Usually they're like, you know, Danger Zone or, you know, Iceman or something.
Yep. But
you are Barney. all right. Let's see. I've got another script he wants me to audition you for. Sam. All right. Wait, don't look at it. I think I sent you the unredacted version. Hold on. Okay.
Okay. I have just received the script for movie number two. This one I'm going to get this one.
Okay. This movie is called One Small Step. It's about man landing on Mars.
Oh, wow.
And you'd be playing.
Brad's getting a lot of big budget movies.
He is. Yeah. Well, he's got a good reputation and a nice resume. Yeah. So this one, you'd be the lead. You're basically the first man on Mars.
Oh, okay? Wow.
Exterior, Mars landscape. So landing craft door opens and a figure in a spacesuit slowly steps out.
Houston, I have exited the craft and I am now preparing to descend onto the Martian surface.
The world is watching. No pressure.
Proceeding down the ladder, four steps remaining. Three, two, last step.
Roger, you may proceed into history.
That's one small step for a man. One giant leap for rock and roll, baby.
What the?
That's right, suckers. It's Dee Snider from Twisted Sister. And I snuck into your stupid Mars ship and knocked out Mission Commander Thomas. You'll find him in the maintenance closet back at NASA.
Are you serious?
I've never been more serious. And I did it because stupid Tipper Gore wanted to put warning labels on rock and roll albums. Now that the entire world is watching, I just want to say, screw you, Tipper Gore.
You waited 35 years and spent 18 months on a spaceship just to get revenge on Tipper Gore for being a censorious prude?
That's right, bizatches. I'm Dee Snider of Twisted Sister, and I want to rock! Can you see me making the rock and roll finger thing?
We can.
What about the heavy metal hair thing?
We can't see the hair, but we can see you moving your helmet back and forth.
Yeah! Houston, we don't have a problem. We have rock and roll! Also, if you study the lyrics to We're Not Gonna Take It, you'll see that I predicted this all along. QAnon is right. Hells yeah, bizatches!
Please stand by.
Also, the guy orbiting Mars waiting to pick us up is Metallica's James Hetfield.
Are you freaking serious? How is he going to figure out how to dock?
You problem, bizatch. Sweet revenge. And Tipper Gore's an uptight ice queen. Go step on a Lego, bizatch. Sometimes Brad's writing makes it. It would help. Can you ask him, it would help if I could read these ahead of time, because when Dee Snider stepped out, it really surprised me.
Really? It shouldn't have. I mean, you never know what to expect.
So Brad has written $140 million. Space movie about Dee Snider enacting his revenge plot on Tipper Gore.
I guess so.
And his final line that he wants her to suffer is that she steps out of Lego.
Bizatch. Yeah. I don't, he's He's the writing guy.
Man, I guess so. Well, that sound lets me know I have a third script on the way.
That's right. I just sent you the third script.
Okay.
I'm feeling good about this.
Oh, you feel good about this one? Okay, good.
Yeah,
good.
I'm excited. This is a new movie. It's an independent film. Being produced by Fibrilax or Miramax, whatever it is. And it's about podcasters. So that's why he thought we'd be good for it. Yeah. So, and it's the world of podcasting. It's a drama.
Okay.
And he was saying this note on the audition is that he would like you to read all the action paragraphs as well.
Oh, normally that's you. But so he wants me to read the, okay.
Yeah. He wants you to do it because he thinks it would add to their performance.
Well, that makes sense. I know J.J. Abrams had Mark Hamill read all the action in the Star Wars, The Force Awakens.
So. Oh, did he?
Yeah. So I'm flattered. I'm honored to do it.
What was the reasoning for that?
Because Mark Hamill had no lines in the movie. So he was still part of the cast. But so he had, you know, Luke Skywalker, of all people, read all the action in the movie.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, yeah. So I guess this is sort of, he might see me as a Luke Skywalker leading type.
Right. All right. Let's go for it.
Okay.
And this movie, and the movie is called The Podcasters.
The Podcasters, an independent film about podcasting. Okay. Interior podcast studio. Bart and Jack sit at microphones. Bart is handsome and oh so smart and has distinguished gray hair that the ladies love oh so much. Yes, they do. Jack is a big dummy who smells and he's dumb. His grotesque figure is hidden under a tattered sweatshirt stained with McDonald's grease and everyone hates Jack because he smells like farts. Also, he is dumb. He squints through very thick glasses that even Mr. Magoo would think looks stupid. Nobody likes the name Jack. Also, Jack's wife is banging the mailman, but that's not important to the story. Jack. I had a funny idea, Bart. Can I tell you my idea? I think it's a real funny and it will make people laugh. I love jokes.
Of course, Jack. I'm always open to good ideas for a comedy podcast.
Okay, great. So my idea is, what if we made fun of people's obituaries? Jack laughs heartily at his own idea, the big dummy.
Well, how is making fun of people's obituaries funny, Jack?
Because they're dead, get it? They can't defend themselves. They're dead and we can make fun of them and laugh and laugh. I love jokes.
I still don't see how that could be funny, Jack. It seems hurtful. People want to laugh, not hear about deaths or have their dead grandmas mocked, especially during this COVID crisis. Heck, my friend Barry died.
Barry died.
Jack, Barry died. That's not funny. I'm actually a little bummed about it.
Wow. Jokes are hard. Okay, fine. What if I made funny noises with my armpits?
Jack, this is a comedy podcast. Mocking obituaries and making your armpits fart? That seems like it belongs on a different podcast. And trust me, there are thousands you could do that on.
Jack leans too far back in his chair because he's a big idiot. He loses his balance and the chair falls back. He hits his head on the wall and his head cracks open. At that moment, his two kids, Edie and Jocko, come running in. They slip on his brain, then it oozes out of his stupid cracked head. Amazingly, Jack sits back up unaffected because he doesn't use his brains anyway. Also, he smells like 8-day-old tuna salad that was left in the sun and then farted on before being sprinkled with sulfur. Jack, I hope you recorded that. That was a funny joke.
Jack, that wasn't a joke. That was a violent accident. Plus, that was visual comedy, and this is an audio medium.
You know so much, Bart. You are so smart and handsome.
Thank you, Jack.
Jack smiles. Jack smiles and soils himself. His teeth fall out and he thinks they're popcorn.
Wow.
So the scene ends with him crapping himself, his teeth organically falling out, and then him being confused.
And thinking they're popcorn. I love Brad's writing.
You and I agree on so much, but I'm going to disagree with you on that. I think that's poor writing. And it also makes me feel a little weird. I don't know what it is.
Oh, boy. Well, oh, golly. I feel like you're 0 for 3 this week.
Yeah, no, I really did. I didn't want that last one. I don't do independent projects, just podcasts.
Oh, okay.
That's how I like to save my making no money work. For
there's too much money in film.
Ah, jeez. So, hey, Brian.
Hi, Jack.
So I was thinking to myself that Sunday is Mother's Day. Did you remember?
Oh, I did. My wife. Yeah. She's a mom. Yeah. So I got to remember. Yes. Thank you for the reminder.
You're very welcome. So, what are you doing for your mom for Mother's Day?
For my mother for Mother's Day? Nothing.
Oh, wow. Come on. Be a better son. Why aren't you doing anything for your mom on Mother's Day?
No reason.
Well, I actually thought you would be an expert because, you know, you're married to a mom. You made her a mom about 14, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And speaking of 14 years, you had your own mom for about 14 years. If I remember correctly. Is that right?
Yeah, it was a good run.
Yeah, it was a good long run. So I was wondering, you seem like the perfect person to get some Mother's Day advice from.
Yes.
And I have my kids are very into Mother's Day. They love their mom and they really want to give her a great Mother's Day. And so, you know, my son, Jack, is here. He's 9 years old. He's in third grade and he's got some questions that he'd like to ask you about Mother's Day. Would that be okay?
I would love to answer Jack Jr.'s Mother's Day questions.
Great. Okay. Hey, so say, hey, Jack.
Hi.
Hello, Jack Jr.
Why is Mother's Day a holiday?
Why is Mother's Day a holiday?
That's an interesting question, Jack.
Well, for a long time, women couldn't vote. And then all the men got together and said, what can we do to placate them, which means to buy time, to keep them from getting upset that they can't vote? And one of the men said, why don't we give them a day called Mother's Day, where we pretend it's a great happy day for moms? And that way they'll forget that they don't have the right to vote, but they will be excited for that one day a year when they get honored. And so they created in 1873, Mother's Day.
You think women should have the right to vote?
No, if there's a Mother's Day, then no.
Oh, okay.
So it works.
What's the difference between Mother's Day and Father's Day?
Mother's Day is celebrated with flowers and a nice brunch and a cute card. And Father's Day is more of, you know, fathers get together and they drink a six pack of beer and then they get into street brawls.
Street brawls. Yeah, right?
Yeah, interesting.
He's very wise.
What's the best present to get for a mom?
In normal times, when you can go to a store and go shopping for a Mother's Day present, what a mom really wants is a vacuum. But nowadays, you can't really go shopping. You got to, you know, the stores are closed right now. COVID's everywhere. So you got to be ingenious. And what we've done with our kid, with my kids for Mother's Day, is we created a system of coupons that we made at the house to give to mom on Mother's Day. And they're really cool coupons. So each coupon has a thing that, you know, for Mother's Day that she can use anytime. So we did one coupon. It said, you don't have to clean the dishes right now. You can do them in an hour. Okay. We had another card. You don't have to vacuum the house right now. You can do it tomorrow. We have another card saying, we will leave you alone and go downstairs in the basement and play video games all night long. You know, so there, you just got to be ingenious and come up with great coupon ideas.
What do you think? Do you think should we make some coupons for your mommy?
No.
Oh, he's not feeling the coupon. Okay.
She would just want beer and stuff. That's all she would want.
Beer? Mom's a beer drinker?
Yeah. Otherwise, she wouldn't want any Mother's Day present.
Wow. Nice bottle of wine, maybe?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So you're saying that all your mommy would really want for Mother's Day is alcohol. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Who does your mommy remind you more of? Michelle Obama or Mickey Mantle?
Mickey Mantle.
Okay. Huh, okay. We've learned a lot about the helmet so far. Okay.
Is it better to make a present or buy one?
Good question, buddy.
Well, mommies prefer when you make something for them because it's a labor of love. Do you know what I mean? For example, for my kid's mommy, she really wanted a ring, but those are very, very expensive. So I made one and all I did was go to a fast food place and get one of their straws. I took one of the straws and I cut it in half and then I wrapped it around and then I glued the ends together and made a ring. Now it's all about the gesture. It's about the energy and time I put into getting that straw turned into a ring. I could have just strolled into a store and spent a lot of money on a ring, but that's not what she would want.
So you're saying I'm going to make her a wine bottle?
Yes. What you want to do is you want to make your mommy wine. Your mom enjoys Pinot Noir. I know this. So what you're going to do is you're going to go get yourself some grapes. These are Pinot Noir grapes. You're going to have to buy a whole bunch of them. And then you come home. Your dad probably has a utility bucket, like a 5-gallon bucket from Lowe's, Home Depot, something. You're going to pour the grapes in there and just step all over them.
But I thought you said we can't buy anything during the coronavirus.
All right. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to plant grapes. You're going to wait 4 to 6 years for that vine to really mature. When that vine matures, you're going to pick all the grapes. You're going to put them in a bucket. You're going to smash them up. And then you're going to have what we call wine. You pour it into a bottle and then you put a cork in the bottle and you wait for another year at least. Or if you're Trader Joe's, you just wait about a month.
Okay. What should we spend the day doing on Mother's Day?
Well, all a mom wants is for her kids and husband to be happy, right? That's all she wants. And what makes you happy? Video games. So on Mother's Day, what you want to do is lock yourself in your room with a computer. Doesn't matter if it's a laptop or desktop. And you just play video games all day long. Fortnite, Minecraft, whatever. And you just don't. And when she's pounding on the door, you just keep saying, Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Because you know you're making her happy.
Well, first of all, my mother does not like us doing too much video games. Two, my mom says to my dad, happy wife, happy life. And if she doesn't like video games, we're not doing any.
You know what? That's actually very wise. I've heard happy wife, happy life many times. But I've also heard missing wife, suspect husband.
Ooh.
Jake, do you know what an alibi is?
No.
Well, it's, can you, if the police ever asked, was your daddy at home on Thursday night between 6:30 and 9:30? And you knew I wasn't home. Would you tell the police that I was so daddy wouldn't go to jail?
I would say daddy went somewhere and I would tell them the place you went and the exact spot. And I would bust you out of jail, be a criminal, and they wouldn't bother coming to get you.
Wow. It's weird logic there. Be a snitch so that his daddy can get busted, but so that he can bust you out of jail and become a criminal.
Basically.
Yeah, you know, Soviet children were taught to snitch on their parents, you know, back in the communist days.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That is interesting. Why are mommies special?
Oh.
Why are mommies special? Well, because if she's a mommy, it means that she's agreed to be with me like the daddy for the rest of her life. Unlike Brenda, who didn't return my calls. I called Brenda day after day for weeks and months on end. And is Brenda around to be the mommy? No, she's not.
Well, if my dad and mom gets divorced, is she around to be the mommy?
If your dad and mom get divorced, would your mom be around to be the mommy? Well, she'll always be your mommy. The question is, will she be my mommy? Would it be weird if I married your mommy?
No.
Because then you'd call me, instead of Uncle Brian, Daddy.
He is still my daddy.
Yeah, but I could be the other daddy.
He hears that.
Stepdaddy.
Better.
No, when mommies and daddies get together, they stay married forever.
Unless they divorce.
Yeah, but if they get divorced, then they get eaten by vultures 3 years afterwards to the day.
Well, here, my dad's dad and mom divorced a long time ago, and they are still alive. I guess they did survive the vulture.
Well, my dad and mom stayed married until my mom decided to die.
Well, sad.
A little bit.
A little bit.
So, Jack, you have time for one more question for Uncle or maybe soon to be stepdad Brian. Do you have any other last questions?
Where do babies come from?
Oh.
Where do babies come from?
Why? Do you not like that question?
I love that question. Where do you Where do you think they come from? I'm going to turn this around.
Uh-oh. I wouldn't like to say it. How about you?
You wouldn't like to say where babies come from. Well, did you ever see the movie Alien?
The baby just somehow grows in the stomach and then just pops out.
There you go.
So you respect dads more than moms?
No, I think moms are very important in making the house work. And I mean in the making the house function correctly. If
you can say that again.
If the mommy here were to go away, then I would probably forget to feed my children. They would forget to come away from the computer and we'd all be dead within 3 weeks. So mommies are very important and that's why you celebrate them. Daddies and are different. For daddies.
Only because he's a boy.
Well, mommy just needs someone to take the trash cans to the curb. And that's where daddies come in.
My mom tells my dad to do almost everything while she just relax, read the paper and do nothing else.
Wow. And that is the best Mother's Day gift of all. That was questionable material. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast. Make sure to review the podcast. Make sure to visit qmpodcast.com for episodes, show notes, and bonus material.